NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tonight, President Biden in the disaster zone in Florida, seeing firsthand the devastation from Hurricane Ian. The president and first lady touring the damage, comforting residents and thanking first responders. The president shaking hands with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, his potential 2024 rival, publicly putting aside their differences as the death toll rises to at least 115. Our team on the ground. Breaking news, North Korea reportedly firing two more ballistic missiles on the heels of a launch just 2 days ago, and the U.S. making a major show of force in the region. OPEC slashing oil production despite pressure from the White House. The impact as gas prices rise again. The settlement with the family of the woman fatally shot on the set of Alec Baldwin's Rust. The producers now saying they intend to finish the movie, and could Baldwin still face criminal charges? The student murdered in a Purdue University dorm, who police have arrested. The successful SpaceX rocket launch, why this mission is so historic. And my conversation with the author of the book about fathers that's inspiring America.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. With hope waning for the missing and the daunting task of rebuilding already too much for some to bear, President Biden traveled to Southwest Florida today to see for himself the damage left behind by Hurricane Ian. The president and first lady flying in Marine One over wiped out neighborhoods, on the ground in Fort Myers, hearing from those who face uncertain futures. The president warning them rebuilding will take not weeks or months. It's going to take years, he said. A week after the storm's American landfall, the death toll today climbed to at least 115 across two states. Today's high-level visit bringing political rivals face to face. The president and outspoken Republican critic Governor Ron DeSantis in a moment of political detente, offering solidarity and cooperation at a moment of disaster. Our Sam Brock is in Florida and has the latest.
As Marine One flew into Florida neighborhoods gashed by a generational hurricane, the two men spearheading the outreach, President Joe Biden and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, side by side and shaking hands, putting aside political differences to demonstrate unity in crisis.
We're not leaving until this gets done. I promise you that.
For communities cut off from the outside world, rescued in buckets and forced from their homes.
The heart, the soul, the houses, it's just gone. It's done.
No magic visit or emergency declaration will immediately undo disaster, but they are receiving assurances that state and federal levers are working together.
We are cutting through the bureaucracy. We are cutting through the red tape, and that's from local government, state government, all the way up to the president.
I feel like Governor DeSantis is very sympathetic to what we're going through here. I think he's already had hands on. He's been here every day.
On the ground, people's lives littered across front lawns.
It's just unbelievable.
Robert Harmon has been sleeping in his car at 79 years old, unable to find a hotel.
It was just an old trailer, but you don't know, realize how nice it was till it's gone.
As for those political visits,
you think they understand what you're going through?
No, I don't think so. They think they do, but they don't. Till you see it, you don't.
Despite the promises of support and disaster aid, the reality remains harsh. At least 115 people now killed, including 49-year-old Elizabeth McGuire, who was found dead in her home, clutching her cell phone. Longtime resident Gordon Meyer did manage to survive the raging floodwaters, but has no interest in building back again here.
Has this experience changed your desire to stay in Cape Coral?
Yes.
You're reconsidering it.
We're leaving. Oh, yeah. We're leaving. This house is too low. And a new house that would be comparable would be $1 million.
Now, with the bridge back up on Pine Island and some families suddenly homeless after their mobile home park was wiped away.
It's just so hard to believe. It's just so surreal.
Hope still remains stronger than hurricane force winds. Search and rescue crews, many with experience in the armed services, find fallen American flags and place them upright once again.
And Sam, joining me now, we're also learning this evening about possibly devastating developments with some railroad bridges there.
Lester, this is massively problematic. The owner-operator of the regional rail network tells me there's six bridges that are either damaged or destroyed. And if they're destroyed, it's going to take 45 to 60 days, best case scenario, to repair them, meaning plywood, lumber, other things you need to rebuild homes and properties are going to be delayed. Lester.
All right. Sam Brock tonight. Thank you. Breaking this evening, U.S. officials confirming North Korea has fired two shorter-range missiles that landed in the sea as the U.S. and allies ramp up their show of force in response to another launch 2 days ago. Andrea Mitchell is following this. Andrea, what do you know?
Lester, this is a brazen response from North Korea, coming only a few hours after the U.S., Japan, and South Korea warned North Korea at an emergency U.N. Security Council meeting against any more launches. As a show of force last night, the U.S. and South Korea had fired four surface-to-surface missiles into the sea, but one of South Korea's missiles crashed and burned, scaring residents. They thought they were under attack from North Korea. The U.S. also redeployed the aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan nearby. At the U.N. today, China and Russia stood up for Kim Jong-un, saying that the U.S. had provoked the crisis by holding joint military exercises in the region and indicating that they would veto any new sanctions against North Korea. So Kim Jong-un is clearly not backing down tonight, Lester.
And tensions remain high. All right, Andrea, thanks. Now to the dramatic cuts in oil production announced by OPEC and its partners, including Russia, saying they'll slash output by 2 million barrels a day. The action expected to send gas prices higher after weeks of decline and sparked immediate new concern about inflation. The White House blasting the move. Emily Ikeda tonight on what it means for consumers.
After a year of tumultuous gas prices, signs today pain at the pump could worsen as some of the world's top oil producers, including Saudi Arabia and Russia, promised deep cuts to output. OPEC Plus announced it will slash production by 2 million barrels per day to spur a recovery in crude prices. The White House today calling the decision short-sighted.
We are providing security, stability, to the energy markets.
The move, defying an aggressive push from President Biden to keep fuel flowing, even visiting Saudi Arabia this summer to convince them to increase oil production. With midterms just weeks away, higher energy prices could be a blow to Democrats and undo months of steadily dropping costs at the pump in most areas of the country.
Talk to me about the timing of the cuts.
The barrels that are going to be cut will be cut in November. But what it means also is higher prices for drivers, higher prices for heating, higher prices for holiday travel.
In parts of California, gas prices are already topping $7 a gallon.
I got to go to where I'm going, so I got to pay it, but I'm not happy about it.
And across the country in Massachusetts, Scott McFarlane has been in the heating oil business for more than 50 years. He says customers should be prepared to pay more as temperatures there fall.
The timing is awful for us. It's going to be a tough winter for everybody, the consumers and the anybody in business.
Adding insult to injury for families already struggling with soaring inflation. Emily Ikeda, NBC News, New York.
Russian President Vladimir Putin made it official today, formally signing the papers to illegally annex four regions Russia occupies in Ukraine, even though his forces are in retreat in parts of those areas. Erin McLaughlin is in Ukraine with late details.
In village after village, the Ukrainian flag hoisted high. Residents openly singing their national anthem as Ukraine's President Zelensky insists his soldiers aren't stopping until the Russians are gone. Though that's not preventing Russian President Putin from moving forward with the spectacle of his illegal annexation, signed into law today, as Russia's defense minister claims they've called up 200,000 servicemen, despite tens of thousands dodging the draft. I would rather stay home, this Russian draftee says. A far cry from the Ukrainian conviction. We fight for our land, for our children, this Ukrainian soldier says, adding all this comes at a very high price. price being paid daily by ordinary Ukrainians. Overnight in the Kyiv region, Iranians supplied kamikaze drones striking infrastructure, according to Ukrainian officials. And in the village of Pisky, Redkivsky, a box of teeth was alleged to have been found inside a torture chamber, according to the national police. In nearby Kupiansk, Oleksandr Kolichnuk was driving a convoy of civilians trying to escape Russian-occupied territory when they came under fire, killing 24, including a pregnant woman. I lost consciousness, he says. I was woken up by the sound of screaming children.
The United States pledged an additional $625 million in military aid, including for HIMARS, the precision rocket systems that the Ukrainians say turn the tide of this war. Lester.
Aaron McLaughlin, thank you. And with Russia's war in Ukraine, tonight a Russian cosmonaut is among the crew members on a SpaceX flight to the International Space Station. While on the ground, a top Russian space official is making news as well. Here's Tom Costello with that.
Yet again, a perfect blue sky launch as SpaceX carries its fifth crew to the International Space Station. With its trademarked maneuver, landing the rocket booster back on a barge in the Atlantic to reuse once again. On board, Commander Nicole Mann, a Marine fighter pilot and the first Native American woman in space. Navy pilot Josh Cassada. Japanese astronaut Koichi Wakata, and Russian cosmonaut Anna Kakina, the first Russian on a U.S. spacecraft in 20 years, who told me in Houston that she and her crewmates don't talk about the war in Ukraine or Russia's nuclear threats.
We were focusing on our common, unique, single aim. And we had not a time for something else.
But as Russian cosmonauts flew a Soviet flag in space, the head of the Russian space agency said Russia would soon leave the space station and build its own. He has since been replaced. Then today, another top Russian space official seemed to reverse course. How long will you be a partner with the international partners in this program?
We start to cooperate, as I said, many years ago, more than 40 years ago, and we will continue our cooperation as long as I can imagine.
Suggesting continued cooperation, former cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev was asked if he was trying to ease tensions and turn down the temperature with NASA.
Answer is yes. We understand that it makes sense to keep flying because this excellent infrastructure that built in space can be used for humanity.
Though Krikalev told me off camera that he's not speaking for the Kremlin. NASA hopes to keep flying the station with Russia until 2030.
Meanwhile, Tom, bring us up to date on when NASA plans to try again to launch that uncrewed Artemis mission to the moon.
Yeah, you may recall the first launch attempts were scrubbed back in August when they had a fuel line leak. Then they had the hurricane come through, so they moved the entire Artemis rocket stack back to the building behind me, the VAB. Now NASA is targeting mid-November for the next launch attempt. Lester.
All right, Tom Costello with the update. Thanks. In 60 seconds, Alec Baldwin's settlement with the family of the cinematographer killed in the Rust shooting. But could Baldwin still face charges? Our report next.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
All right, we're back now with a shocking murder on a college campus. Authorities say a 20-year-old senior was found dead with multiple sharp force traumatic injuries in a dorm room at Purdue University in Indiana. His roommate, who called 911, has been arrested on a murder charge. No word yet on possible motive, but police believe it was unprovoked. Also tonight, Alec Baldwin and the producers of Rust settling a lawsuit with the family of the cinematographer who was fatally shot on the set. And now they plan to finish the film with the blessing of the victim's husband. Here's Miguel Almaguer.
Tonight, nearly a year after the tragedy on the set of Rust, the family of Halyna Hutchins, the cinematographer fatally shot by Alec Baldwin, has reached an undisclosed settlement in its wrongful death lawsuit against the film's famed actor and producers. With production on the movie set to resume in January, Hutchins' husband, Matthew, will now become an executive producer to pay tribute to Halyna's final work.
The idea that the person holding the gun causing it to discharge is not responsible is absurd to me.
After speaking exclusively to Hoda Kotb earlier this year, Hutchins seems to have changed his position, saying in a statement today, "I have no interest in engaging in recriminations or attributions of blame to the producers or Mr. Baldwin." Hutchins will now partner with the actor.
I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
Who told ABC News he was not responsible for Halyna's death.
Just so angry to see him talk about her death so publicly in such a detailed way, and then to not accept any responsibility.
As one civil case draws to a close, the Santa Fe district attorney could file criminal charges any day, with Baldwin, the film's armorer, and the assistant director all part of the investigation. The DA said today, if the facts and evidence warrant criminal charges under New Mexico law, then charges will be brought. No one is above the law.
With the movie's principal players returning to the set, if anyone is charged, it's quite possible a criminal trial in the shooting could be underway at the very same time of filming. Lester.
All right. Miguel Almaguer, thank you. Up next tonight, the cheating scandal rocking the world of chess, a teenage grandmaster at the center of the controversy. The latest moves next. We're back now with the controversy sending shockwaves through the high-stakes world of elite chess. An American phenom accused of rampant cheating on his way to the top. Gadi Schwartz explains how.
It's a scandal rocking the chess world.
Wow. What a result.
Wow. Growing allegations that 19-year-old chess star Hans Niemann has cheated his way through the ranks.
This is a targeted attack, and if you look at my games, this is not, it has nothing to do with my games.
All coming to a head after Niemann shocked grandmasters everywhere, beating the reigning world champion Magnus Carlsen during an in-person tournament.
Magnus losing with white?
And what?
At their next face-off, Carlsen quitting after Niemann's opening move.
Magnus Carlsen just resigned.
The forfeiture coming after Niemann admitted publicly to cheating online in the past.
And I'm completely ashamed.
Carlsen later tweeting, "I believe Niemann has cheated more and more recently than he has publicly admitted." Then last night, a bombshell report, the website chess.com, accusing Niemann of likely cheating in more than 100 online games, including several prize money events, and kicking him off the site. Cheating online can be as simple as having an extra screen open, where a computer AI gives hints on the best possible move.
Computers play in a very different way from humans. And the kind of moves a computer will play, you'll look at it and you'll say, no way that works. When you start playing too many of those kind of moves, people start looking at you funny.
It's a growing problem for the multi-million dollar online chess industry, gaining popularity thanks to shows like The Queen's Gambit and gaming sites like Twitch. Niemann could not be reached for comment, but tonight his grandmaster status now called into question over accusations of a checkered past.
And Lester, investigating online cheating versus in-person cheating are two very different things. And right now, chess's governing body says they're looking into all of it, as well as allegations that other grandmasters have been cheating on chess.com as well. Lester?
All right. Gadi Schwartz, thank you. Up next, Inspiring America. I'll introduce you to the author who says father figures are critical in shaping young black men, including himself. Finally tonight, a story of one man and the seven men who over the years entered and enriched his life, offering a different take on what fatherhood can look like.
I wanted to write something that was affirmative.
And so as the country was grappling with the racial justice movement amid a pandemic, activist Will Jawando sat down to recast the image of black fathers.
Most people don't know, for example, that the majority of black fathers are in the home. just not always married. They're actually more engaged in the daily activities of their children, bathing, feeding, reading to them.
Juwondo seeks to expand the definition of Black parentage in his book, My Seven Black Fathers, profiles of men who entered his life, teaching him about love, acceptance, and respect.
I only have one biological father, but each of these men and many others played a integral role in making me who I am in my journey to wholeness.
Juwondo, married and a father of four, born and raised in Silver Spring, Maryland. He writes of a strained relationship with his natural father, being shunted from school to school, burdened by the low expectations that hold down too many Black boys.
I was looking and yearning for a passage, kind of an entry point into my Blackness.
He found it in the man who helped him connect to his Nigerian roots, his first Black male teacher who taught him about self-esteem, the coach who taught him acceptance.
One of the things that struck me is a lot of the mentors in your life, these fathers, didn't realize the role they were playing in your life.
I'm fortunate to have five of the seven still alive, and several of them, including my own stepfather, Joseph Jacobs, said they didn't realize the impact they were having.
Like Barack Obama, for whom he worked in the White House, like Juwondo, biracial and son of an African father.
He was really helpful to give really practical advice from life experience himself of navigating my role as a husband and a father. And also just dealing with, I think, some fears. You know, similar to me, he had fears of whether he was going to be a good father, not having that relationship with his father at a young age.
What does this speak to, you know, men like myself or yourself now, you know, who are successful and largely secure in life?
You know that nothing is too small. We all have something to give.
A lesson he hopes will change the narrative while paying homage to Black fathers.
These relationships literally can change and save lives, and that's what happened with me.
And that's Nightly News for this Wednesday. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.